All right, here I am. Welcome. This is Chris here with the End Evil podcast. A little audio issue there in the beginning. Thanks, guys, who was in the chat. I was talking for quite a while there before I saw. you getting audio now, guys? Can someone let me know if it is working? That'd be great. Evil's the destruction of freedom. And we're here today to talk about the Tree of Life. And I'm going to talk about some symbology surrounding the Tree of Life. Anybody got audio? Am I sounding good now? Can you hear me out there, guys? Let me check my settings real quick. Just make sure audio is coming through. It is working now. Okay, I got the wave. Good. Okay, yeah. So a little bit of a late start, but this week I'm just doing it live, and we're doing the show as we go. Thanks for joining. I'm talking about the Tree of Life this week. I'm talking about symbolism for the last couple weeks, last 2 months at least. We've been looking at symbolism as a bridge to help folks think about the bigger aspects of life. What are we doing here? What's this all about? All right, I'm getting some signs that the audio is working now. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'm just think I'm going to probably set up the chat right here on an overlay for a while because I can't watch that and talk at the same time so well. But I'm going to start off here tonight by showing a couple little clips to kick things off, and then a little image presentation I put together and a little freeform talk for tonight. And we'll see how it goes. I'm going to first go to this clip, and I'm going to have to switch the audio back. That was why I had a problem in the beginning. But let me know when this clip comes on, whether you guys can hear all right. That would be appreciated. Let's see here. I'm going to switch over now to my slide presentation. All right. Now let's see if we get some audio coming through here. Just a second. And we'll
And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come and he would gather
Chris,
the reading.
Okay. All right. Well, can you hear me? No? Nothing's working tonight.
It's been a while, honey. I tried to tell you.
I don't know how to get it working. It's just, it was all working when I started and then now
I don't know, baby. Now it's working.
So yeah.
It's working.
Can you hear me now? Sorry, guys. Little technical problems here tonight. Can't get my audios to cooperate with me. But I'll make sure you can hear me now. It was working, Chris says. Huh. Well, anyway, what I was going to play, I'll just put me back in here. Sorry about that, folks. Well, you know, it's working. Anyway, what I was trying to play there was a couple little clips. One was an intro to this concept of the Tree of Life being a symbol. And the other was a little reading of the book, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. And if you've ever heard of the book of Shel Silverstein, I'll just kind of explain basically the story. A young boy plays in a tree every day. He plays in its branches. And the tree loves the little boy, and the boy loves the little tree. He grows up, you know, by this tree, spends all his time out there. He loves this tree. Even his little, when he falls in love for the first time, he carves a little heart in the tree. And he gets a little older, and he stops coming around so much. And the tree gets lonely, and the tree's like, where's my little boy at? And then the boy finally comes back by, but now he's quite a bit older. And the tree's like, why don't you play in my branches and hang out here? And have fun and be happy. And the little boy's like, well, you know, I got stuff to do now. You know, I need to figure out how to make money. I need to go out in the world and do stuff. And the tree's like, well, you could take all my apples and you could go sell them in the market and then you'll have some money and then you'll be happy, right? So the kid takes all the apples and he goes and sells them. And then, you know, the tree doesn't see him for a while. The tree is lonely, misses its boy. And the boy comes back a little older and the tree's like, man, I missed you. Why don't you play in my branches and be happy and have fun? And the boy's like, well, now I got to like get married and I need to build a house and plan a future and have my own kids. And the tree's like, well, you could cut up my branches and you could take my branches and you can make a tree with that. I mean, a house with that. And so that's what the man does. And, I won't get into every detail. You guys have, many of you have probably read that story of the giving tree. And as children, hopefully your parents read it to you. If not, you missed out. It's a great story. I recommend listening to that. If I could get my audio all to work properly, I would have played it. But since it was giving me problems, I thought, well, I'll just get on here and basically tell you the story. So the concept of the tree of life, what does it mean? Why did I decide to talk about the symbology of that? Well, there's a lot to it. The tree of life is a metaphor for spiritual growth. And it's a metaphor for more than just that. But that's really what I want to talk about tonight, because the End Evil podcast is really dedicated to the book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. And this book makes the point to all of us that, you know, we're on a trajectory. Humans, part of our, what we're doing here is working towards freedom. And it's just a matter of time till humans figure out that this threat of authoritarians taking over and owning the world is only going to work if we as individuals continue to allow this and believe in a system of control. Once we stop believing in it, once we begin understanding the importance of our own freedom and the freedom of others, then that can be the end of evil, and it can end, you know. That's the point of this show, is to inspire folks to not give up just because things seem tough out there, but think about what we can do for the future to make this world a better place. When I did some research on the tree of life, what's interesting is I found that the tree of life exists in many different spiritual practices, and it shows up over and over in philosophy. A quote from Alan Watts said, "You didn't come into this world, you came out of it." So in a way, we're like the leaves or the fruit of a tree. You know, we are a tree. And in fact, when you think about all the things going on in our body, there's a lot of metaphorical truth in each of us being a tree, and that, you know, our feet are like our roots, and then our halo above our head and our ascending spiritual understanding be like the leaves growing out into the sky. You know, or you could get a little more mundane and just say, you know, like we got hair, just like a tree has leaves. But I found there's quite a few awesome people and philosophers and books out there that deal with this concept of the tree of life and spiritual development, or just the tree in its many forms. The Bible, one of my favorite guys I just talked about, Alan Watts, Carl Jung, Manly P. Hall, Rudolf Steiner, Rosicrucians, are just a few. Carl Jung said, "No tree can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell." And what's interesting about that statement is spiritual development requires facing our inner darkness or our inner shadow and understanding all parts of aspects of ourselves, even the parts that scare us. And I think the modern world has a way of kind of hiding its eyes, society's eyes, from the truth when it comes to the slavery system we've created for one another. In nature, we see natural abundance, things growing and working together in their own way. Not to say there isn't, one thing killing another, certainly is in the animal world, yet there is a balance, there's a certain harmony. I was recently reminded of the monkeys, gorillas, bonobos. We think of ourselves as better than beasts often in the way people speak. But when you consider the fact that gorillas, monkeys, bonobos, not like they never fight, but they do have strong clan connections, and they do have a form of community that we really struggle with as humans, where they protect one another as a group. At least within the families and clans, and a pretty respectful way of dealing with each other in those clans and communities, and, you know, cleaning each other's hair and all this type of thing. The future for humanity, if we're going to ascend past slavery and keeping one another in this authoritarian belief system, is going to require knowledge. And the tree is often associated with knowledge. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was, you know, the concept brought up in the Bible. And I've always wondered about the deeper meanings of what that could mean, the tree of knowledge. One way to look at that I've considered is our brains, our minds, that we have the ability for thoughts or ideas to sprout, as we say, right? Or take root. In our mind, an idea takes root and it grows just like the branches of a tree. And actually, when you look at nerves and synapses, there is a lot of similarity between the way our arteries and the channels through our bodies flow and bring nutrients out to our extremities, much similar to the tree. So how do we build our roots in understanding core principles? One thing we often talk about is hermetic principles. And the mentalism is the idea that the universe, the world, is mind, that it does have intelligence. And that's why I started with Alan Watts' great quote, is that you didn't come into this world, you came out of it. And so we do have the ability to affect and change things in this world, just like a tree does, right? A tree can't change necessarily the clouds all by itself, but a tree does have effect on the environment around it. And a bit of research, there is a lot of new things coming out in terms of communication between trees. There's quite a bit that people did not used to know. You could check out TEDx. There's some good talks on, if you look up tree communication. Trees will actually send through the mycelium in the ground. They will actually help another tree that is having problem. They provide shade to protect the young trees growing. They're constantly putting out seeds to grow new trees. And this is like a self-growing, self-autonomizing system, which is pretty amazing. Also, another wonderful thing about the tree symbolism that is similar to our own self and our own body is there's this reflection of the higher and the lower. We see this in our bodies. We see this in our mind. The tree has the trunk and the roots on the bottom and the leaves on the top. And there's a lot of similarity between these worlds. I remember one time myself being out in the ocean, and I was wearing a snorkel, right? And I was having fun turning my head all the way sideways like this until one eye is looking out at the world above the ocean and the other eye is looking at the world under the water. And that always reminds me of the spiritual world and the material world. And how do we bridge that gap? How do we have one foot in both worlds? I think the tree is a great way to bridge the gap. I've always had love for trees, because what does a tree do ever that's bad or evil or wrong? A tree is nothing but life and growth. And like the giving tree, you know, you can take away from it and take away from it and steal from it, and it just keeps giving, and it doesn't care so much what you do, right? It just is what it is. And this is kind of the way we want our spirits to become. We need to become more indomitable, more invulnerable, because today's world cuts at us in so many ways. We're getting hit with EMF waves. We're getting hit with pollution from human beings. We're getting hit with chemical pollutions, both being sprayed in the sky and then winding up in our water through all the things that humans do. We're getting hit with propaganda from the time we're very young, school, religion, politics. Trying to tell you what's right is what they want and what people's egos desire. But when you spend time in nature, it's very grounding. And it gives you a feeling of everything here is here for a reason. and everything has its time. Everything has its season. Another amazing aspect of the tree is how trees affect or are affected by the different seasons. And much like the cycles of our life, we'll go through periods of time where we feel very excited and flowing and full of energy, and then other times where we feel more like hibernating and sort of dormant. And this is also symbolic of the creative process. Oftentimes we feel like, I don't know what to do next, or I can't think of anything creative. And then other times it's just flowing through us, right? And this is a natural cycle of nature. Trees embody the connection between heaven and earth, right? Up and down is the way we think about that often. Another amazing thing about the trees, they are ecosystems within themselves. Often birds, bugs, every imaginable creature either lives off the fruits of the tree, lives in the bark of the tree, use it to hide their acorns for the winter, and so on and so on. So the tree doesn't just provide for its own life, it provides for the community around it. And what I think is really important about that is when we as people begin to really embrace our purpose, I think that we on this planet can serve as deacons to nature, and we can help help things be more abundant and more balanced than they even are now, rather than polluting and destroying and using things without responsibility in mind for their regrowth. Because if there's anything that a tree is about, it's about growing and growth. And this is very similar to us in our human bodies that are self-healing machines, constantly trying to generate new cells, constantly trying to generate new ideas as our branches of thought form new pathways. The tree and the symbolism of the tree shows up in almost every religion. Buddha was said to have sat by a tree, gathering enlightenment or reaching enlightenment. Rosicrucians talked about the tree. The rosy cross is, the Rosicrucians, right? The spiritual stages, integrating light and darkness. So, what can we learn? One of my favorite people I've talked about when I was much younger, I discovered when I was part of the, kind of wrapped up in Christianity at that time in my life, but I was exposed to a Christian monk named Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book. And his whole enlightenment was similar to Buddha, of his sitting, looking at a tree. I believe his was during a dark, bleak landscape after a time of war, and just really being inspired by the tree and finding, realizing that he could communicate with God anytime and all the time. And I think as we raise our vibrations, human beings, and we go through the spiritual work, we begin to be closer to that universal spirit. And the tree is often a good symbol for that. Something I'm hoping to talk about in the future is the movie Avatar. And this little AI image, I thought sort of did well of showing this idea of a tribe gathered around a tree and, coming together to share expression. And around a fire, around a tree, is nature's kind of natural place. What I call the church, is nature itself. And I think we can work in this direction. As humans, our goal is to learn to work together as part of our process. We need each other in so many ways, whether it's trade or getting goods or taking care of ourselves, taking care of each other. And care is the key word here. Care is really what we're hoping to infuse into the world on a much larger scale. If folks do have care and they care for the future of more than just themselves, they become heroic. And that's what I'm really trying to inspire and encourage folks to do, is to become a hero in this evil world. It's actually an opportunity. It's the best thing we have to do with our time, is to ask ourselves, what can we do to grow? What can we do to enlighten others? Aligning our activity and nurturing our spiritual care is why I think that we are here on this earth. And that's why I'm so excited about this symbology, which can bring us closer to this goal. Okay, here we have an image of Jesus. This is supposed to be Jesus Christ here. He's often associated with the cross, but you know, it occurred to me that even the cross is kind of similar to a tree, right? You know, you got the outstretched arms, and you know, the whole idea of the story of Jesus was teaching care. And you know, like I explained in one of our parables discussions, the mustard seed was a great one, that a tree could be symbolizing, a tree comes from a very small seed, and it can become one of the largest things around. And so just like our development as beings, like the tree, we can spread out and grow. And symbolically, Jesus doing the sacrifice was very similar to the story of Osiris and his tree, which is that, am I getting that word wrong? I might be saying, because ancient Egyptian myth also has a tree, but right now I was talking about Norse tradition, and the Norse tree Yggdrasil is the one I was just trying to get into and talk a little bit about. So the fact that this, the Bodhi tree was the one in the Buddhism, and then the Yggdrasil is the Norse. And that's kind of what I was getting at there, just that this symbol shows up often. It was Odin. I meant to say Odin, and I said that's what it was, right? Yeah, Odin was the one that made the sacrifice. It's kind of a similar story of Jesus in some ways. There's similar stories through many religions. Roots can symbolize strong foundations and values. Roots can symbolize anchoring ourselves to something solid and secure. So that would symbolize our connection to earth, our connection to what's real, our connection to truth. What is more true than earth and the ground, right? Very grounding thought for you there. Branches. I love the idea of branches extending in out in all directions. This is what we're called upon to do in our spiritual work, because if we just keep our thoughts on the same cycle, on the same path, we don't allow ourselves to stretch out into the world around us, we become very opinionated and triggered. You know, we see people like this in the world. We want to be like the trees that want to spread out and collect all the sun, and the sun representing information, knowledge, right? So that we can grow, we have to be exposed to the light, which symbolizes, you know, being illuminated, learning, asking ourselves the hard questions, and trying different things. How do we gain inner stability, right? How does a tree gain inner stability? We gain stability by learning to balance ourselves, by growing deep roots into the ground. So in terms of our spiritual mental development, the better that we understand principles and the better we understand where we stand on things, and the easier it is for us to discern whether a thing is true or not true, the better our stability in this world. The more we practice and train our body, the better balance and skill that we have, right? So leaves also symbolize, there's a very profound story that occurred to me one time. I've shared this on a past podcast where, you know, life is kind of weird in that we have this idea of God or the Creator or the Great Spirit, but this is something that doesn't in our material world often seem tangible. It's not like, even though I said this story of Brother Lawrence learning to communicate with God, that is something that I believe to be very true, but it's a very personal journey and understanding. And we can see times all through history when people will say, oh, God told me I could kill you, or God told me I should be in charge of your whole town and I have to murder and rape everybody. You know, people can misconstrue and misrepresent the messages of the divine. But each of us have an ability to communicate with the great all, the great spirit. And the stronger our tree of knowledge, the more likely that's going to happen. Often for me, receiving understandings of things comes in the form of synchronicities. Maybe you're reading a book, you know, reading something from Carl Jung, for instance, and then driving down the road and you get a phone call or you see a sign and your brain just kind of makes a connection symbolically. And it might even be something you've realized before, but all of a sudden now it has a new meaning to it. So adaptability to change is another aspect of trees, right? When you look at a tree that's been cut, all the rings show us all the different strange things the life has, the tree has experienced through its life. Storms, fires, right? Sometimes the rings get tighter, sometimes they're wider, depending on the season. So just like the tree, we're here in this world getting hit with various types of weather conditions. And so that can be in our life, dealing with different personalities, dealing with different problems, right? And these weather us like a tree. Now, if we develop strong roots and we let these things we learn turn into stronger bark, and we build calluses around, you know, things that try to poison us, then we become stronger, older trees that people go to for wisdom, that people go to stand under the shade of what you've become. I often meet people in this world, and sometimes I find myself very impressed by a particular person I meet, and because I can tell this person has done a lot of development, and it's obvious very quickly in the way that people speak and hold themselves, and mainly how much they care. Care is like trees bearing fruit, right? And some trees don't necessarily have fruit. Some have nuts. Some just have beauty leaves. Some are medicinal, right? But these are positive results of actions. The fruits of our actions, we call this in our world. What are we doing as beings in this realm to bear fruit, to bring something to others that they can appreciate and enjoy and experience? That's a question we all can be asking ourselves. Are we providing shade and protection for those around us? Or are we adaptable to change, or are we stuck in our ways? Kindness, service, responsibility, these are the virtues that we want to work towards. These are all the things we see in trees. Trees, one of the biggest aspects that I've always talked about with the symbol that I put behind me is interconnectedness. The trees are connected to the sky above them. You know, the birds come from the sky and land in them. Their leaves are collecting the sun to nourish their roots and help them grow. And they're connected deeply into the earth. Their roots are driven into the earth. They're almost one with the earth. What would earth be without a network of roots? And roots often hold the hillside together. So it's an integral and cooperative, beneficial situation. If you've ever seen redwood trees, there's an amazing thing about redwood trees. They often grow in a circle in what's called a fairy ring. And an old redwood tree might die and fall down, and right where it lays, you'll get a fairy ring of a whole bunch of trees. So one dying tree provides an environment and a biome for others to live. So this is what we are hoping to do with our lives here in humans, is to create the possibility for future change, the possibility for future community. And we ask ourselves, what are you doing in your day-to-day life right now to be like a tree in that way? Are you growing and spreading out your leaves and dropping seeds for the future and turning yourself and everything you do into something that will be a legacy for a future generation? Or are we just gathering all the nuts we want, like the squirrel, and hiding them in the tree? You know, it's like we have this choice in life to care or not to care. And the tree encourages us to care. This slide here I liked a lot. I've shared it. You know, it kind of represents the flower of life, you know, and the seed of life. These are the geometric shapes, not exactly pictured here, but, you know, that there's these geometric patterns all through us, all through our bodies. And we are antennas, basically, to collect sun, to create and generate energy. And we're amazing technology. We are beings that are here on this realm that have an amazing opportunity to affect reality and to be part of this interconnectedness. Now, how have we become so blind to this natural aspect of reality in the modern day? I'm not sure, but I have some ideas and theories. But at this point, what matters more is that going forward, we seek ways to make this a better world and to encourage others in that process. And I've always liked the symbol of the crow. The crows are pretty neat birds. They're like kind of like sometimes signs of omens. Sometimes I have synchronistic events myself with crows. But, you know, birds, trees provide a home for crows. I was just looking at the chat. We had some couple cool comments I'd like to share. Will Keller says, materialist silent science is barley, catching up to what the animist cultures knew thousands of years ago and still to this day. Everything is mind and imbued with spirit. And Leslie was helping me out because I was trying to think of Odin. Odin hung himself to see the nine worlds. So, you know, in the pursuit of knowledge, he hung himself on the tree. But, you know, that there's probably a lot more symbology in that. Actually, I'm reading a book right now, listening through Audible, by a great symbologist. Why am I blanking out on his name right now? But he talks a lot about these old myths and stories in Norse tradition. Joseph Campbell, that's who I was trying to come up with. I think the book I'm listening to now is A Thousand Faces, A Hero with a Thousand Faces. But there are, Carl Jung is another one who has done a lot of work explaining that, you know, our spiritual stages and this progression through life can be understood in similar ways as a cycle, right? As like the cycles of nature, renewal, shedding, bearing fruit. Yeah, and Manly P. Hall talks about tree as a metaphor for strength, and patience is one of the most amazing aspects to me that I draw from the nature of a tree. What can we think of in nature that's more patient than a tree? Patience, I think, is one of the main ways that we can embody love in this world. We have to understand that the problems that exist and the where people are at in their journey kind of is what it is to an extent in the physical realm. What we have done in the past collectively as beings has paved the outcome that we are now experiencing. So being patient and understanding that things don't happen as fast as we'd like them to often. Change and transformation is not generally a fast thing, much like a tree. If you wanted to watch a tree's leaves changing, you'd have to spend some real time sitting there watching. It's not an instantaneous process, and that's very symbolic. I just shared this picture with it's sort of these weird AI version of Egyptian guys, but you know, a lot of the symbols in the Egyptian stories are also symbolic of our spiritual journey and passing through and getting judged and working into this garden. I remember they have like this garden you get to. It's like a lot of these ancient cultures have stories that are showing a spiritual development. The hero's journey is our spiritual journey. Where somewhere I had a picture of Quetzalcoatl, and I was thinking about, you know, this, the deep symbology in that story. You have the image of this thing coming out of the snake's mouth, like dealing with our inner monsters, our inner beings. This was another story. There was a Krishna even was associated with a tree, and that I can't remember what that tree was called right now. I had it written down somewhere, but I took so many notes, it's hard to find my way through them all. That's what you get for doing a live show. Sometimes audio, oh yeah, there's my Quetzalcoatl. So the path towards truth, the path towards enlightenment. I like this picture because she's walking through the snow and it's cold out, you know, and this person's well-dressed. And the feminine spirit too, like there is a very feminine aspect to, as I've described to you before, is our spiritual life and learning to care. What else could care like the mother, right? And the tree is very much like the female motherly spirit that just gives and gives and gives, you know, like the giving tree gave its apples, it gave its branches, it gave its, you know, whatever it had, just kept giving. And that's what the universe is asking of us to learn to do, to learn to give and feel joy from giving. Now, here's the stark contrast. I didn't want that slide to go away quite so quick. The stark contrast of today's world and the society we're living in. Laws are written on paper. These pieces of paper are valued more than human lives in many cases. It's a gray, bleak, in individual society that each person working towards their own gain and losing sight of what's happening in the big picture, we're creating these really not pretty background drops, right, of cities and manicured. Look at the trees they put in cities. You know, the trees are actually, I've often thought to myself that like some trees are more in slavery than others, right? Because we go into like a town where they're planting them in these tiny little spots in between cars and streets. And yeah, it beautifies the environment a little bit, but poor trees, you know, they're growing in an environment that isn't natural to where they really belong. And they're cut off from their community of other trees. And now that we understand how trees, to some extent, we understand that they communicate and they form communities. That's just another thing that humans do. That it's hard for us to see the wrongness of it because there's so much other wrongness around wars, killing, taxing people, stealing from people, constant distractions. You know, when you take some time out of the busy city and you go for a walk in nature, what do you experience? A little bit of space, a little bit of silence, patience, you know, patience exemplified. How about the changing of the seasons, like we talked about a little bit already? The way that we change as beings, we have to be dynamic in this realm, otherwise we get stagnant. And like a old tree with branch with no leaves that's getting hit with the wind, eventually it breaks. And we don't want our ways of thinking and being to be like that, to be brittle and old and hard and easily broken. We want to be supple like a whip of a tree. I one time had the pleasure of doing some magic mushrooms, and I remember standing there just watching the tree and how it swayed in the strong wind for quite some time. And I was just so amazed by the, on one hand, the branch will move with a strong wind, but it whips back just as strong in the other direction. And it's like the trees are never bothered by the wind or the snow or the rain. They just do what they do. And that is sort of like stoicism that we are trying to learn as freedom fighters in this world where we're outnumbered and outgunned by the forces of evil. But like the trees, we can be strong and we can continue to grow and inspire the other community of trees around us by being robust and strong and putting nutrients back into the earth and not just pulling them all out and not just thinking of what we need. There's a lot of biblical metaphors of nature and spirituality. A righteous person is like a tree rooted in divine wisdom, yielding fruit in due season. That was from Psalms. The parable of the mustard seed, as we discussed, the sower and the seeds, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians is personal transformation, results in spiritual fruit. The spiritual fruit is love, joy, peace, perseverance, patience, these things. The trees symbolize our spiritual aspirations, you know, growing out into the sky, growing out into the heavens, right? The shedding of leaves is an important aspect. Sometimes we have to let go. These are like the seasons of life. We hold on to things, we work on things, and we get a certain point and we realize that the seasons have changed. Those things we were doing before aren't as important now. We have to let go of things. Sometimes this is old ideas. Right now, for the mass of humanity in our side of the world here, we have to let go of this silly idea of voting in new rulers, right? I mean, that's some dead leaves that need to fall off this branch so that we can survive. Because all that's doing is cutting and cutting at our roots by, turning things into death and trying to cut apart the roots kills the tree. And that's what any type forms of stealing will do, you know, and that's what humanity has been doing for so long, that we're sort of a beat up forest at this point as people. So embracing these change, encouraging those around us, and pushing ourselves into being more resilient, more hopeful, and, really creating community around us and creating beauty is the goal. So that's basically the essence of what I wanted to talk about tonight with the tree. It's one of my favorite symbols, and I've got a lot more thinking to do on this topic, and I'm sure it'll come up again in a future presentation. But it's always fun to try to do some live presentation work. But I'm going to go to my screen here. Before I ended this week's show, I wanted to share a couple things with you folks. This week, a new presentation came out by Nate Kapp. Check out cubbyhole.com, Earth Brain 3. And on this topic, we're talking about, he goes very deeply into symbols of all types and the planet itself and our brain. There's so much there. Check out Nate Kapp's work. And I really want to encourage people to check out Leslie and Derek's work at Dissolving the Divide. And I think I may play some of their shows on some future podcasts. If you want to help out End Evil Podcast, please go to endevil.life. And you can go to my contact page and send me a message if you have something you want to share with the show, or you can send something to chrisjansen.com. We're taking donations. I really want to thank Jerry Tappan. He's been doing all the uploads for the End Evil podcast for like the last 4 to 6 months. He's been doing a wonderful job. And the next donation we get on the End Evil podcast is going to go to Jerry. I think he really deserves thanks, and he has my gratitude for the work he's doing. I also want to thank Marvin from Join the Internet. He's been encouraging and helping me with some bigger projects I'm working on right now. I have something I'm excited to share with you guys later this year. But for the rest of tonight's show, I might try one more time to play this little clip if I can get the audio to work. But other than that, thanks for coming, folks. I hope you feel some inspiration about trees and maybe look at them a little deeper next time you venture out into nature. And be like the tree. Evil's the destruction of freedom. Oh, yeah. One other announcement. There's a gentleman in a Telegram chat. If you go to the One Great Work Warriors Telegram chat, who's selling copies of the book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. And I'm going to get some delivered here myself. And if you guys have not read that book, I recommend to check it out. You can just type in The End of All Evil, and it comes up for free on the Internet Archive, or it used to be New Earth website had it as well. But it's easy to find, and it's a great book. So that being said, thanks for joining me, folks. And I am going to see if I can, I'll play my little commercial here, and then I'll see if I can get the clips to play at the end of the show here. Thanks for coming. Make like a tree and leave. Hey, Jen, good to see you. Okay. Yeah, if you guys haven't got on my email list yet, please do that. That always a good thing to get more people so that when I can just enter your name, your email address, and you'll be on the email list, and then I can let you know when big things are happening. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Okay, I'm going to turn off my audio, and I'm going to try to turn the audio on for playing these last two clips one last time. And if it works, great. If not, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for coming to the End Evil podcast. Throughout history, humanity has sought to understand the mysteries of existence and the divine. From the sacred trees that have stood as symbols of wisdom and life, to the powerful figures that embody the quest for enlightenment, the narratives surrounding these spiritual beings reveal a profound message for modern seekers. The importance of consciousness and the pursuit of a higher understanding that connects us to the divine source. At the heart of many spiritual traditions lies the concept of transformation. Take, for example, the story of Buddha, who attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, a symbol of wisdom and awakening. This moment represents not only personal transformation, but also the potential for all individuals to awaken to a deeper understanding of reality. Similarly, in the tale of Jesus, the cross serves as a powerful emblem of sacrifice and redemption, inviting followers to transcend suffering and embrace love and forgiveness. Both narratives emphasize the journey toward a higher state of consciousness, urging us to look beyond the material world and seek the divine within ourselves. The sacred trees that feature prominently in various mythologies further illustrate this interconnectedness. In Norse mythology, Yggdrasil, the world tree, symbolizes the interconnectedness of all life, bridging the earthly realm with the divine. This tree embodies the idea that every being is part of a larger cosmic tapestry, resonating with modern understandings of ecology and the environment. Likewise, the sycamore tree associated with Osiris represents regeneration and the cyclical nature of life, reminding us that death and rebirth are intrinsic aspects of our existence. The quest for deeper understanding is echoed in the stories of deities like Hermes, Thoth, and Quetzalcoatl, each representing different facets of knowledge and wisdom. Their teachings invite us to engage in introspection and cultivate our consciousness, seeking a connection to the divine source that transcends human comprehension. This divine mystery,
often described as unknowable and unseeable, calls us to embrace the journey itself rather than fixate solely on the destination. In a modern age characterized by rapid change and complexity, the messages from these ancient narratives remain relevant. They remind us that the pursuit of higher consciousness is not merely an individual endeavor, but a collective journey toward unity with the divine.
The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play the king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk, swing from her branches, and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older, and the tree was often alone. Then one day, the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk, and swing from my branches, and eat apples, and play in my shade, and be happy. I am too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money." "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I only have leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back and the tree shook with joy. And she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I am too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy, she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I am too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I am sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I am too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb I am too tired to climb, said the boy. I'm sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy. Thank you.